Jay, what is fibromyalgia?
Musculoskeletal pain with fatigue, sleep disturbances, memory problems, and mood issues. It's a complex mix of those.
NeuroNoodle Podcast is supported by listeners and viewers just like you. A special thanks to our gold and silver supporters. Earn up to 16 CEU hours by attending Applied Neurosciences NeuroGuide Workshop December 10th and 11th in Madeira Beach, Florida. It's led by none other than Dr. Robert Thatcher himself. There are two ways you can attend, online or in person, with the link appliedneuroscience.com/attend-ng-workshops. And if you sign up now, you can join Dr. Robert Thatcher at his house for a pre-course get-together December 9th. It's going to be a blast. What a better way to enjoy winter by being in Madeira Beach, Florida, and earning up to 16 CEU hours. Sign up now at appliedneuroscience.com/attend-ng-workshops. MindMedia.com. Get the latest EEG and neurofeedback technology from MindMedia.com. Their semi-dry sensor cap is a wonder to see, and their EEG amplifiers have been trusted in the field for decades. Their neurofeedback and QEEG courses will get you up to speed in no time. Visit MindMedia.com now.
It's not just having trigger points and pain. It's additional symptoms on top of it. And they believe that it basically changes the ability of the brain to and spinal cord to process pain and non-pain signals. So this is considered an actual definition of it in the first sentence, and the second sentence is basically just what they think it ends up implicating.
But I mean, is it like a nerve pain, a burning pain, like you got a punched pain, or pain's different
no,
for everybody?
It's actually the muscle spindles end up being extremely tense. It causes trigger points. You know, the little spots that you can poke and they hurt, those are actually a muscle spindle in the muscle. That's the trigger point. And the muscle spindle is a sympathetically innervated part of the muscle. The rest of the muscle is all voluntary nervous system, not involuntary or autonomic, but the muscle spindle sets the muscle tone, posture, residual tension, basically. And this is the culprit. When it's contracted long enough, it starts to be painful, like any muscle contraction that's extended. Pick a weight up, stick it straight out, and hold it there for 10 minutes and see what your shoulder feels like. You know, and, you know, it's not simple muscle pain from the muscle itself having voluntary commands to contract, because, you know, you can quit contracting the muscle, but if the sympathetic nervous system is still jacked up because of trauma or stress or whatever, you're going to end up having the muscle spindle still contracted. An excessive muscle tone and the trigger points, the muscle spindle will become a trigger point. If you poke it, it's going to hurt. And you can turn off the muscle spindle with the proper technique. Dropping the sympathetic nervous system's tone down ends up clearing the neurocognitive aspects of it, basically, and the ability to actually understand subjective changes and fatigue, sleep, memory. If you have a chronic sympathetic overarousal with adrenal fatigue, like, you know, you've jacked up your nervous system so long that your adrenals quit, you end up having muscle spindles activated, you've totally fatigued. All of these are explained basically by a sympathetic nervous system out of proper regulation. And getting the sympathetic nervous system under control gets rid of these trigger points and muscle spindle contractions and all of that. So it's a disturbance of the autonomic nervous system, and you can get it from basically stress or trauma, not like, you know, whacking the muscle trauma, but, you know, traumatic experiences. And
like shingles?
Well, shingles are viral, that your autonomic nervous system has turned off your ability to have them suppressed. And if you've had a chicken pox, the virus is basically hosted inside of you in kind of a latent state.
Yeah.
And as you get older and your immune system isn't quite as intact, you don't have it suppressed. And when it flares up, you end up having the nerve root that the virus is in innervates a dermatome, and that dermatome ends up having, the awful shingles rash, basically.
Okay.
And it's not directly related to fibromyalgia, but of the two, at least shingles goes away at some point.
Yeah.
And fibromyalgia, they've been trying to treat fibromyalgia for a long, long time. It's not an easy thing to treat. What are you going to do? Massage?
Like, how do you get it? Do they know, or is it a mental
Well,
thing, or is what?
it's a central nervous system dysfunction. Your autonomic nervous system normally has a sympathetic parasympathetic balance. If that goes out of balance towards the sympathetic dominance, you end up having muscle spindles contract in a way that's not normal. And again, like going to the gym and being too tense too long, you're going to get a pain.
Okay.
And you get them all over because it's systemic sympathetic arousal, not something wrong with one muscle here and another muscle there. This is the entire nervous system having a sympathetic overarousal, which is why you end up having the subjective symptoms of fatigue and disturbed sleep. I mean, sympathetic overarousal, you're not able to fall asleep well. It messes up your memory because you're not sleeping well. And mood issues, well, sympathetic is, associated with stress. All of the symptoms that line up with those that have the pain of fibromyalgia end up being explained by this simple finding. And
Yeah.
again, the research here at the end from 2015, the first paper to actually prove, based on using antibodies to basically test whether it's sympathetic, parasympathetic, voluntary, what kind of innervation is there for that muscle spindle. And what they basically find is that there's a direct innervation of the sympathetic nervous system to the muscle spindles, not just the blood vessels that are supplying the spindles, but the spindle themselves end up having the sympathetic innervation. And this basically allows us to understand disturbances of the motor system, proprioception, under stress conditions, chronic muscle pain syndromes. So this paper is again fairly recent, 2015. Sympathetic innervation would enable the autonomic assist to influence functions attributed to the muscle spindles, motor reflexes, coordination, resting muscle tone, and the proprioception, the actual feeling of the muscles themselves. You actually sense the muscle contraction by sensory systems sensing the muscle spindle, not the muscle itself, but the muscle spindle.
So Jay, if somebody comes into the office and says, I got fibromyalgia, and they do a QEEG, what kind of dysregulation are you going to see, or will you?
Not always that obvious in a QEEG. You're probably going to find it more readily by monitoring sympathetic nervous system things like temperature. What's your hand temperature? If you're sympathetically over-aroused, you tend to have vasoconstriction, and your fingertips tend to be cooler than the normal person.
So when you're
And
stressed, the blood goes away.
with sympathetic innervation, the arteriocapillary beds end up constricting, so you don't have as much flow. And you've got to have flow to get core temperature to the periphery. And if you cut down on that flow, you can have what's, in an extreme Raynaud's syndrome, where you've got icy cold hands, and probably that cold, wet hand that you probably have shaken at some point. The handshake that feels like you grabbed onto a cold fish, So you would also find it with electrodermal, where you're actually looking directly at the sympathetic innervation of the eccrine sweat glands. You see the overarousal of the sympathetic nervous system based on essentially the excessive wetness of the sweat gland, because the sympathetic nervous system creates an myoepithelial cell squirting out of the fluid from the eccrine sweat glands. you get nervous sweat, not temperature sweat, but nervous sweat. The face, the hands, the feet, they have a different kind of sweat gland than the armpit and the back and the belly button, the places that everybody drips from. But your face and hands have, and feet end up having specifically innervated sweat glands, the sympathetic nervous system kind of creating like a syringe. When the sympathetic nervous system is triggered, it squirts out the sweat from the eccrine sweat glands.
Do kids get fibromyalgia, or is it an adult thing?
Usually, you've got to be pretty stressed for quite a while for the system to kind of collapse into this. So,
Yeah.
yeah, you can probably find it in some younger folks, but the older you are, the more likely you are to have things like, oh, worrying about your mortgage or the
Yeah,
IRS
yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
whether the feds are knocking on the door. There's things that can make you nervous. And
Or the
kids.
podcast editing is right.
You can say that again, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Well, if you can't really see it on the QEEG, but you can, like HRV, you can do the temperature and
yep, HRV, temperature, electrodermal, all of those are really positive ways to intervene on the sympathetic nervous system.
So you would do biofeedback training, not so much neurofeedback training for this?
Yeah, typically that is the case. Now, it's quite often you'll end up finding something associated with overarousal in the brain that you can also deal with, but it's not simple overarousal. So you can fix the overarousal and still have the central nervous system sympathetic overarousal going on, even though the activation level of the brain may normalize, you may still have a sympathetic dominance, and that's treated, quote, peripherally. Well, peripheral to who? Since when were we periphery and central? It's all the same, organism. You're just grabbing onto it with a different piece of it. And we should kind of cut down on how separate we make things. We're not a separate, mind and body. Mind-body medicine is just medicine, So.
Well, everybody is unique. I get it. And two things people are going to say, how many sessions will this take for me to see some response? Okay, I know we hate that question, but it is a common one. Is it a 20 session, 40 session? Where does that, if you had a guess?
HRV is something that can be done. You train it in the lab, but once it's trained, this translates into real life. If somebody wants to, they can practice their HRV breathing techniques on an ongoing basis. So,
You can do that at home.
yeah, exactly. You can do it in the car. You can do it in the library. You can do it at your desk. You can set your watch to trigger you every 30 minutes to do a few minutes worth of HRV breathing. You can put it as part of your daily routine.
Earn up to 16 CEU hours by attending Applied Neurosciences NeuroGuide Workshop December 10th and 11th in Madeira Beach, Florida. It's led by none other than Dr. Robert Thatcher himself. There are two ways you can attend: online or in person, with the link appliedneuroscience.com/attend-ng-workshops. And if you sign up now, you can join Dr. Robert Thatcher at his house for a pre-course get-together December 9th. It's going to be a blast. What a better way to enjoy winter by being in Madeira Beach, Florida, and earning up to 16 CEU hours. Sign up now at appliedneuroscience.com/attend-ng-workshops.
And at that point, you can shift your base function. If you learn it and only do it in the lab, you got to transfer all of these skill sets outside the clinical lab into the real world. Otherwise, you can do it in the lab. When I had the lab at the state hospital in 72, one of our early clients for migraine was something that people were doing temperature training for at the time. Now, the fellow came in, he was actually financial officer at the state hospital, and he had cluster headaches, which are migraine-like, but they're a histamine headache. 75% of our males, migraine, 75% are females, has totally different neurochemistry, very severe headaches. And cluster headaches are sometimes referred to as a suicide headache because you can see the next cluster of them coming. They happen for a bunch of headaches all clustered together. Then you're free of headaches for a period of time. But when you see it coming back around, people say, well, that's it. I'm not gonna do this anymore. They check out. So it isn't that severe. And the fellow basically wanted treatment. Now we said, well, cluster is not the same thing as migraine, but we can try this technique on you. And he's into finances. He's OCD as hell. He had a log of all the headaches he'd had for years, and they would cycle through. There'd be like 2-3 weeks of really severe headache and then a few months of clear, no problem, and then another bout. It was a clear cluster headache. It wasn't an atypical migraine or anything like that.
Yeah.
And we trained him and it was effective. It's over. I've effectively aborted headaches. I've stopped them. I'm not having them. So he went on with his life and kind of forgot about the temperature training, thing that he had learned. And he started to have a headache again. And he walked from his office. He called us and we said, well, come straight to the lab. And as he's walking to the lab, he starts to warm up his hands. And by the time he got to the lab, there's no reason to come to the lab. Everything was gone again. Need to transfer it outside of the lab itself, but you can't say, well, I'm done. I flipped the switch and I'm better and I'm never going to get bad again. You have to change a piece of your lifestyle and the routine practice.
It's working out, right? You just go, you go to personal trainer for 2 weeks and everything's cured. You're in shape, right?
So yeah. I lost my 5 pounds of little blubber and now I'm fine.
I stopped drinking water for 2 days.
Let's go out and celebrate with a big dinner.
It's my cheat meal.
Yep.
So the HRV, I know you hate this, but magic wand, do you think it's a 20 session, 40 session for fibromyalgia to see some relief? Like autism takes a lot longer for neurofeedback than it does for ADHD.
20 sessions in a lab setting where you're actually learning it, but you're already doing it outside the lab.
Outside of it.
After the first couple of sessions, you how hard is it to count to, breathe in Russ. 4, breathe out 6, or 5 and 5, or, some people have 6 breaths a minute, some 5. Everybody's got their own unique, tuning. And in a laboratory setting, they have much more advanced software than simply counting how often you're breathing in and out. They can look at the spectra and identify a sympathetic and parasympathetic balance and all of that in the software. So in a clinic setting, they've got more detail. But ultimately, once you learn your pattern, practice it on an ongoing basis. Yeah. Set your watch to trigger you every once in a while so you practice the breathing throughout the day. You're going to see by 20 sessions in the clinic and daily ongoing practice, you're going to see dramatic change. Now, quite often end up doing SMR type training with somebody who's got fibromyalgia as well. SMR is stabilizing the occasionally overarousal activity in the brain that corresponds with the sympathetic nervous system, and getting the brain stable ends up helping as well. But ultimately for fibro, biofeedback is more specifically oriented towards it than neurofeedback.
Yeah.
And when I started, there was only biofeedback. It was EEG biofeedback. There was no neurofeedback term even at that point. So it was more like an integrated field. All of it was biofeedback. There was a point at which the EEG people weren't feeling the love of the biofeedback world, and they kind of split away in order to establish their own identity, develop the research base for the EEG biofeedback, and they came up with their own term to kind of differentiate them from. So it was neurofeedback. Yes, there's nothing wrong with neurofeedback or neurotherapy as a term. Obviously, if you've got a device that does general health and wellness, you should avoid the therapy aspect of it because that's outside the FDA approval of the device.
Yeah.
But neurofeedback is what they would end up calling it as opposed to neurotherapy.
So Jay, traditional medicine, you're going to an arthritis specialist. I've had all my hips and knees change. Okay. Arthritis is just taking a crap load of Tylenol or painkillers. So what can traditional medicine do to help this?
Ruling out the other forms of problems that you can have. Basically is the trick there. Lupus is an autoimmune issue. Multiple sclerosis, again, autoimmune. Rheumatoid arthritis, autoimmune. So you can have autoimmune problems that end up causing these painful features, and they mimic fibromyalgia. The arthritis specialist is the one who's able to rule out the potential mimics. You don't want to end up having thyroid problems and have it missed. Oh, I've got pain. Okay, well, we'll do massage or we'll do whatever. And if you don't end up doing the medical background testing to rule out immune function that's not right, thyroid disturbances that aren't right, diabetes, type 2 diabetes can be a problem, anemia, and kind of fatigue and fibromyalgia are quite often what they would refer to as comorbid. They're present in the same individual. And chronic fatigue is often viewed as an adrenal collapse, basically. If you're stressed long enough, hard enough, your body's been demanding cortisol, which is released by the adrenal cortex. So the pituitary sends out ACTH, adrenal corticotropic hormone, and you activate the adrenals, you make more cortisol, and that dampens the immune function. So your stress hormone of cortisol literally is the reins on your immune system. Well, when that fails, your immune system kicks up. So you end up having immune or autoimmune related symptoms. If you've got fibromyalgia, you have to rule out the mimics to make sure that you're not kind of whistling past the foundational problem. And again, if you look at all of these, these are the kinds of things that an arthritic specialist is going to end focusing on. So if you have fibromyalgia, you're likely to be referred to a specialist, and that's probably somebody who focuses on arthritis. You think, well, it's not a problem with my knees or my hips, or it's not rheumatoid arthritis, but you have to rule these out. Otherwise, again, you can be whistling past the primary problem and have a long-term problem. And, not having MS diagnosed means that you're not having it treated. And there are treatments for MS, not universally successful, but, beta-seron, which is interferon, can be used to modulate the immune reaction. Again, some people have good reaction to that, some don't. The muscle spindle ends up being the thing that ends up having the pain. It's not the muscle itself. It's the muscle spindle. If you palpate the muscle spindle is about the size of a grain of rice. And if you poke it, it hurts. If you move over a little bit from that, it doesn't hurt the same. This is a little spot. It's a trigger point, not a trigger area, but a trigger point. And it's the muscle spindle. The sensation of the muscle tension, the sensory neuron is wrapped around the muscle spindle. You can actually inject a sympathetic blocking agent here and turn off the muscle trigger point. Dr. David Hubbard invented the approach to inject a sympathetic blocking agent. The syringe is turned into an electrode, and when the tip of the needle touches the muscle spindle, you hear a different sound, a rapid firing. And at that point, you just get a little tap, a little bit of the sympathetic blocking agent, and you essentially paralyze the muscle spindle. And the muscle tone drops out. It's not the same as Botox, which paralyzes the muscle. You're just letting go of the residual muscle tone or tension. So Botox ends up paralyzing the muscle. because you can't express facial emotions in Hollywood, you've just lost your career. I mean, the joke is the same exact face: happy, sad, angry, you know, Botox angry, Botox happy, Botox sad. But if you use the more advanced approach of the synthetic blocking agent, which is extremely expensive, you've got essentially a neurologist doing your injections, and they're expensive folks, you know, those neurologists. Yeah. So it's not like going to a cosmetic person who can use Botox. This is a much more complicated injection. It's not just finding the muscle, it's finding the muscle spindle electrically with a syringe. So, but you can paralyze that muscle spindle and turn off the trigger point really quite directly. So this paper, the Journal of Anatomy, 2015, ends up being the proof that the sympathetic nervous system is what innervates the muscle spindle. And again, it suggests that this is going to give us the ability to understand stress conditions like chronic muscle pain syndromes. We're just recently getting the proof that the model that we've been looking at for longer than just 2015 is actually valid. It's the model has had validation studies on it. Anyway, that's the fibromyalgia chat.
So good news is on the way for fibromyalgia sufferers.
Well, yeah, better on news, the way. On the way.
On the way.
Let's say we taught everybody in medical school today exactly how to fix fibromyalgia and a whole bunch of them in that area. You know, it's going to take another 5 years for it to penetrate clinical practice if it was taught today at all the medical schools. And you can't expect all the medical schools to grab onto a specific application and topic. It takes time. It's almost like a generational, well, the old guys will die away and then these new techniques will pop up. It might not take 25 years, but
They're going to point to this podcast and say, Jay Gunkelman, you were right.
Well, I would hope that they point to David Hubbard and the professional studies, not just an old geezer tech, you know.
All right. Fair enough, Jay. NeuroNoodle Podcast is supported by listeners and viewers just like you. And a special thanks to our gold and silver supporters. Earn up to 16 CEU hours by attending Applied Neurosciences NeuroGuide Workshop December 10th and 11th in Madeira Beach, Florida. It's led by none other than Dr. Robert Thatcher himself. There are two ways you can attend: online or in person with the link appliedneuroscience.com/attend-ng-workshops. And if you sign up now, you can join Dr. Robert Thatcher at his house for a pre-course get-together December 9th. It's going to be a blast. What a better way to enjoy winter by being in Madeira Beach, Florida, and earning up to 16 CEU hours. Sign up now at appliedneuroscience.com/attend-ng-workshops. MindMedia.com. Get the latest EEG and neurofeedback technology from MindMedia.com. Their semi-dry sensor cap is a wonder to see, and their EEG amplifiers have been trusted in the field for decades. Their neurofeedback and QEEG courses will get you up to speed in no time. Visit mindmedia.com now. Three things our listeners can do to help us spread the word of neurofeedback. Number one, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Number two, give us a review on whatever platform you listen to. 5 stars is appreciated, but Jay Gunkelman will accept 4.5. Hey, if you have the means, please support us on Patreon/NeuroNoodle. There are different levels in which you can support us, whether you're a mom or dad or a clinician. There's even an option where you can have your own Q&A with our own Jay Gunkelman. This support helps us improve the quality of our content. Hey, trying to get these video edits even better, even better. Again, we thank you all for watching. Cue the non-copyrighted music.